Hello and welcome to this installment of the EMS Authors podcast series brought to you by Jones and Bartlett Learning. My name is Bill Kimball. We're speaking today with Mike Helbach, author of Sick Not Sick. Mike Helbach is currently a Washington State certified, nationally registered senior paramedic and the director of EMS training and education at EMS Associates. He is also a clinical educator in pre-hospital medicine at Seattle King County EMS, Division of Emergency Medicine. Mike worked for 28 years as a firefighter paramedic for the City of Bellevue Fire Department in Washington State until his service retirement. He was then promoted to Director of EMS Training and Education, Seattle King County EMS, and additionally promoted to MSO4, Paramedic Supervisor for Seattle King County Medic 1, which he held for the next 7 years. He has received speaking invitations from many large corporations and EMS agencies across the United States and Canada. As a national speaker, Mike has shared his experience in pre-hospital medicine to more than 500,000 students over the past 30 years. Mike is a current author and advisor for numerous pre-hospital trade journals and shares many of his training concepts with other instructors across the country. He continually evaluates his performance as an educator and develops new and innovative ways to educate students in emergency medicine and evaluates how the students apply this knowledge to field performance. Thanks for joining us today, Mike.
Bill, it's my pleasure. I really enjoy the opportunity to share some knowledge about the program and certainly do it through technology with JBL.
Great. So I think my first question would be, can you tell our audience a little bit about yourself?
Well, you bet. My background is as a fire department paramedic. I'm from the Seattle King County Medic 1 program, where I've spent my entire career. I'm a true Seattleite, born and raised over here. And have spent my career in the field as a paramedic, and not just that, but also as an educator. And many years ago, as an educator, I was teaching these new EMTs or new paramedic students, and it's always was clear to me that they could get the content of the book. I mean, they could remember page 1057 of a textbook or page 85 of the patient assessment book. But what was always clear to me was that when we would try to connect the book and the actual classroom performance with actual field performance, there was a disconnect. And at the end of a course, if you didn't do anything about that, we were basically, you know, graduating these guys and pushing them out and saying, okay, have a good career and go get her done, if you will. And it became, again, really clear to me that there was a disconnect. What they learned in the book, what they learned in the classroom, they didn't necessarily connect with the actual real-life field performance. And I took that as the instructor's fault. That was my fault. I didn't give them the tools needed to really be a great field performer. So many years ago, I started to develop some concepts on how to do this. And it wasn't initially clear to me, but what I would do is I would follow senior EMTs and senior paramedics, and I would just watch what they did from the doorway. This is no joke. I took a pen and paper, if you will, well before tablets and smartphones. And I would sit there and I'd write down the top two or three or four things that they did once they, you know, got at patient side or simply walked into the door. And I would see what they were doing to make them make the decisions toward, you know, moving quickly on the patient or spending more time and having a little more detailed conversation. At the end of my sort of collection of information, it became very clear there was a picture being formed here. And what I have termed what I call the clinical picture, and there's a number of indicators that every one of these providers used to determine whether the patient was, for the lack of better terms, sick or not sick. You know, we can use critical or non-critical or stable or unstable, but I mean, that was the term that I decided to use on this. But what became really clear to me was that I needed to teach this to these brand new students as well and develop it in a way when they were to go out into the street, they could connect bookwork, cognitive knowledge with field performance from seasoned providers and have a better understanding of how to do their job. And that was the beginning of Sick Not Sick. So my background, again, as a paramedic, as a director of EMS education for Seattle King County, was a way to come up with a better tool to prepare our students for field performance. And I hope that's really clear. I'd be very happy to entertain any other questions along that.
Well, sure. I think the next natural question for me, you've given a good overview of the approach you took. What drove you beyond feeling like you hadn't provided students with the tools to really write the Sick Not Sick series? And can you give us a bit of an overview of what it actually is?
Of course. Again, the background with being a field paramedic, and then eventually I was director of EMS education for Seattle King County, and I did that for a number of years. Since we were starting to really produce EMS classes and produce students, if you will, about 100 or so, 120 a year, in the system that I worked, we rely so heavily on their initial decision process. The initial decision to decide if the patient's critically ill or not, and then the performance of practical skill that they do beyond that, that became such an integral part of our data collection in Seattle King County that we found that they simply weren't doing it very well. So, again, with this idea of trying to develop a better way of doing business in the field, using a very simple approach, the sick, not sick approach, of identifying some key indicators, the clinical indicators that I've developed within the book, and then applying that to a treatment plan, what we saw was an increase in decision-making, a better process of critical thinking, more confidence in the street from EMTs, not just beginning EMTs, but actually seasoned EMTs. And at that point, it became very clear to us in the Seattle region that we needed to build sick, not sick as the base approach to every single thing we do in the world of pre-hospital medicine. Every patient you go on, there is a decision whether you need to act right away or not. And that's the sick, not sick approach. So I just, you know, at the same time, I want to just put a little plug in. As a field performer, this was really clear to me. But what I had to try to do was translate my ideas and thoughts into word. And interestingly, a student of mine many years ago, who has a background and a master's in instructional design and English and writing skills, we became very good friends during the class, and it became clear to me that my skill set to put it on paper was pale in comparison to this young man. So I partnered with him and asked him, if I share with you the concept of sick, not sick, will you put it into words for me? And of course, he was very pleased to do that. And I just want to give credit to him. His name is John Dream. And he was an instructional designer for Seattle King County EMS for years, and he's the co-author of Sick Not Sick with Me. He's since then moved on to Madison, Wisconsin, does some great work out there in the world of pre-hospital medicine and technology, and I just really want to give credit to him for doing a great job on this as well. But so I think that kind of wraps it up initially as far as, again, you know, why I wrote the program and why we saw a need for the program. And more importantly, now it's clear to us that the program has aided in the performance of skill set in the field. And let's be honest, that translates to sending more patients home, sending more parents home to their kids, more grandparents to their sons and daughters. And at the end of the day, that's exactly what we measure.
Well, it's a perfect segue into my next question for you. Does this approach work? I think that might be something that's on the mind of some of our listeners, and there's no better way to ask it than to just be direct. Does it work?
Well, Bill, it's a great question. And for anyone that's in, you know, data collection and evidence-based medicine, one could argue that, you know, where is the data that says that, you know, that this program is functional and it's appropriate? Well, we've actually done a couple of different sort of side studies to really try to get some quantitative and qualitative information on sick, not sick. And what became very clear to us was that the decision-making tool does, in fact, aid in the performance of the sick or not sick decision at every level of EMS performance. And that was done through a series of case studies and questions and answers and then post-follow surveys for the providers. So the question, does it work? The answer is, I believe it absolutely does without question, because the way I described it when I teach the program is that it's really easy when the patient presents with the two sort of polarized or bookends approach to EMS, i.e. they're either really sick or even dead, or they're not sick. In other words, they're at the other end of the spectrum. They have a hangnail and they call 911. Those two options are really clear to even an inexperienced provider. We can get those figured out pretty easy. So sick, not sick in that case really doesn't aid the student too much, because anyone with common sense can figure that out. But Bill, this is where sick, not sick really comes into play. So be sort of visualize this, if you will. We've got a book in. We have a left and a right, if you will. Sick is on one side, not sick is totally on the other side. Those are the easy options. But Bill, start to come together toward the middle, what I call the gray area. Patients will present to you 1,000 different ways. As they become closer and closer to the middle, the more it can be confusing. Is the patient really ill or are they really not? Because the information, the data, the history, the presentation becomes more gray and more gray. That's where a lot of people with inexperience have a trouble making decisions. And what Sick Not Sick does is give them a very, very clear blueprint on how to decide where to go, because it's based on data, clinical data. Patients' signs and symptoms don't lie. Sick Not Sick is not designed to make a differential diagnosis. It's designed to decide, is the patient critically ill right now, yes or no? So the answer, does it work? Absolutely. Every single provider that we challenged through the program came back with 100% that said, Sick Not Sick aided in the development of their critical thinking. It aided on the practical skill performance and the eventual treatment that needed to be done for the patient. And I believe, again, in my heart, this is something that, you know, EMS providers do anyway. What we were able to do is sort of capture the message, and with JBL's help, we were able to put it into print.
Well, thank you. I'm sure our audience appreciates that detailed response. I guess I'm curious to find out, when would a provider use this approach?
Well, that's another great question, Bill. You're just nailing this. The example I use when I teach this all over the country is, for example, when was the last time, and Bill, I'll ask you this question, when was the last time you used a KED, a device to pull people out of cars? I'm sure you know what that is. When was the last time you used one of those?
Oh, it's been years.
Exactly. And honestly, that's the answer I get. Now, that has nothing to do with the product. It's a great product. But the opportunity to use the product isn't very often. And the answer I get from everyone across the country and outside is, oh, it's been a couple of years. Well, here's the question I'll have for you. On the very last call you went on as a paramedic, Bill, and the patient was in front of you, did you do a patient assessment, yes or no?
Yes.
The answer is absolutely. When do you use Sick Not Sick? Every single time you see another patient. You use it at every single call. There's never a time when Sick Not Sick sits on the shelf or in the bench seat of your rig. It's something that can be used and must be used every single time you're in a patient contact. And that's the other beauty of this, is that if we start to envelope around ourselves that every time we're in front of the next patient, there is a decision that must be made based on clinical data, based on information, based on patient presentation, we need to make a decision. Is my patient currently sick, unstable, critical, a few other words for it, or are they not sick, stable,
right,
non-critical? And from that, that drives your skill set. That drives what you're going to do for the patient for the next 5, 10, maybe even 15 minutes and beyond. So the answer is, when do we use it? Bill, we use it on the next call we go on.
Well, Mike, as a paramedic myself, I couldn't agree more with you. But I suppose I'd be remiss if I didn't ask this next question. What if a provider makes the wrong decision?
Bill, it's a great question, and I get this quite often. I mean, we're so concerned with litigation, and what if I make the wrong decision? Am I going to be sued? Will the patient die? Well, let me back up a little bit and ask you this question. What happened, Bill, if you make no decision?
Right, understood.
So based on that, and I'll explain as I break into this how I teach this when I tour the country, is that the thing about EMS, and I believe there's two things that we must do, two things, out of all 1,057 pages of every EMS text out there, it breaks it down to two things. We must, one, make a decision. We have to be able to make decisions. That's the first thing we do. And the second thing we must do is we treat the patient, sidebar, based on the decision in number one. So again, we do two things. One, we have to make decisions. And two, we have to treat the patient based on the decision. So the question is, what if I make the wrong decision? Well, remember, if you look at a bookend approach, the patient who's absolutely sick and or dead on one side, and the guy who's got a hangnail on the other side. Remember, we use that as an analogy,
right? Yep.
Well, that's easy again. There really isn't any wrong decision there because the patients are so polarized on either side, it's a piece of cake. But let's move toward the middle, sort of that gray area. And what happens is that's what causes most indecision in the field of EMS performance. The inexperienced simply can't go one way or another. I've always said the indecision itself is almost a death sentence because indecision causes you to stall.
Right.
When you stall, you don't treat. And when we're not treating a patient, we're not doing any good. So what I've done by the performance of Sick Not Sick, and it's shown in the actual book itself and a series of flow charts that I've developed, if it's not really clear to you, Bill, if it's not absolutely clear the patient's sick or not sick, the data's not there, the critical picture's not there, the signs and symptoms aren't there, but it's just a little bit confusing, what Sick Not Sick gets us or tells us to do is default to one way or the other, and I'd like you to default to the non-sick side right away because, and this is very important, because not sick doesn't mean not hurt, not ill, don't treat.
Right.
That's not what it means. It just means they're stable right now. They're not critically ill. So anytime I tell students, if you are not sure, if you don't know what to do, if you're stalling, immediately put them in the non-sick category and start treatment within seconds. Because not sick has a treatment plan.
Right.
Additional care, oxygen, patient assessment, initial assessment, set of vital signs, OPQRST. So it gives you an opportunity to start treating right away, even though it's not really clear to you. But then here's the beauty. And the flow chart in the book, it really describes this beautifully. JBL did a great job in their diagram showing this. But what it says, if the patient is not sick and you're going down a non-sick treatment plan, at any time there's a series of dotted lines that can take the patient to the sick category. And I know you know the same thing, Bill. Every single non-sick patient has the possibility of becoming a sick patient. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
And it's important that providers like yourself, a senior provider like you, Bill, and myself, we need to tell these young EMTs that that's okay. So there really isn't a wrong decision as long as you make a decision. Because either way is treating the patient, it's offering a clinical direction, and it gives you a direction of travel for the patient. So I get this all the time. What if I make the wrong decision? The only wrong decision, Bill, is no decision.
Well, I couldn't agree more. That was a phenomenal response. So I really appreciate you tackling that head on. I guess the last question I'd like to ask you, is there a pediatric version?
Well, actually, absolutely, Bill. When I originally wrote the program, going back to the first part of the podcast, most of my interest was developing an adult version because that's clearly the majority of patients that we see. So I developed Sick Not Sick and wrote it with the adult version approach. But what became really clear as the program started to take off and it was being used in the Seattle King County area, there was a very close friend of mine out of Children's Hospital. Her name was Dr. Dina Brownstein, and she, not only as a mentor, but a close personal friend. Bill, if you've ever had a pediatrician that had her finger on the pulse of what we do, this is exactly what Dr. Brownstein was to me. Anyway, she used to say, well, Mike, you know, we still have a lot of patients out there in the pediatric arena that could use something like this as well. Interestingly, about the same time, Bill, the American Academy of Pediatrics petitions three physicians to develop something called, and I'm sure you've heard of this, the Pediatric Assessment Triangle.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, what a beautiful triad of opportunity to teach EMS providers and even emergency department providers how to take care of kids with a sort of triad of indicators. And this was being developed about the same time that I wrote the original Sick Not Sick program. Dr. Dina Brownstein was part of that original trio that developed this program. And she came to me and said, Mike, you ought to consider using the Pediatric Assessment Triangle in your book, Sick Not Sick. And at the time, the publisher for the Pediatric Assessment Triangle, Bill, who you know who it was?
I do, but I'll let you tell our audience.
Exactly. Jones and Bartlett back in those days. And that became the connection, Bill, that brought me to JBL, or back in those days, Jones and Bartlett Publishing, to connect with Sick Not Sick. They became my publisher for the version. And then I went on to write and develop the pediatric version using, with all respect, the pediatric assessment triangle in the body of the book. And I want to make sure I give credit where credit's due. It was just an honor to be able to incorporate the pediatric assessment triangle in the book with Sick Not Sick. So if you actually buy the Sick Not Sick or, you know, acquire the book, it has both the adult version as well as the pediatric version all in one, with just dozens and dozens and dozens of case studies that help validate the program throughout the base of the book.
Well, Mike, I can't thank you enough for joining me today. It was truly a distinct pleasure speaking with you. So thank you again. I'm sure our audience will appreciate all the responses you gave as well.
Bill, what a great opportunity, and thank you for asking. I want to thank you for what you do, not just as a field performer, but to help us connect via technology, and JBL for supporting that. You know, things have changed a lot in 30 years, and although I believe some of those good old practices of good field performance are important, when we can connect technology to share more knowledge out there, I believe that we're really embracing you know, sort of EMS of the 21st century. And I want to thank you as a fellow provider as well, Bill. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks, Mike. Well, that concludes this episode of the EMS Authors Podcast series. We've been speaking with Mike Helbach, author of Sick Not Sick. To learn more about this textbook or to request a complimentary review copy, visit go.jblearning.com/sick. That's go.jblearning.com/sick. Jones & Bartlett Learning, a division of Ascend Learning, is a world-leading provider of instructional, assessment, and learning performance management solutions for the secondary, post-secondary, and professional markets. To learn more about Jones & Bartlett Learning, visit the corporate website at www.jblearning.com.